Good evening. You may start by turning to John chapter 15. While you're turning to John chapter 15, I just want to take a moment to thank everyone of CBC for allowing me and Ben and Elias to come to be interns this summer. It was a blessing. We enjoyed every moment of it, being privileged to serve under this church. We thank you for all the meals that was either given to us or at the houses. We thank you. It was a privilege and an honor to serve under Pastor Smith, Pastor David, and Pastor John. So we just thank you, and we love the fellowship and drawing closer to this church. So John chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. What I believe the Lord is wanting me to preach on tonight is abiding in the vine. But before we get started, let us open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for allowing us to be here to hear your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and where you see fit. We pray that you be glorified and that you give me the word to say, that you'd speak through me, and that you give us good rest of the evening and be with the next preaching after this. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Let us read the first part of verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." So from this, we can learn that there are more than one vine out there. There are many vines that people are a part of. One big one could be atheism. There are many people are a part of that vine of atheism, not believing in God. But there is only one true vine, and that is Jesus Christ. All of the other vines are false. Now let us look at the rest of that verse. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Husbandman in the Greek means a farmer. And what that means is God the Father is the one who takes care of the vine, who takes care of Jesus. Now let us look at verse 2. Once again, the first part says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So before we go on, I would like to establish something. What I believe that this passage is teaching, that branch that is not bearing forth fruit, I believe that is a saved person because of what Jesus says. He says, "Every branch in me." The key word would be "in me." They are in Christ. They are in the true vine. No saved person is a part of the vine. Jesus would not have said "in me" if they were not saved. It did not say that they are bringing forth evil fruit. It was saying that they are bringing forth no fruit. And verses 2 and verse 6 are verses that people might try to use to say that you can lose your salvation. I know for a fact that they would use verse 6 because I've had someone try that on me. But if you keep them in their context, because the context of John 15, verses 1 through 11, is not salvation, the context is abiding in the vine, abiding in Jesus Christ. So if you would, let us look at verse 6 real quick. I want to cover this in one part together instead of going to verse 2, stopping, getting to verse 6, and doing it again. Verse 6 says, Jesus says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So Jesus says, "If a man abide not in me." That is what he is talking about. He is talking about abiding in him. He's not talking about if a man is not saved. A person who is saved can be backslidden. They can go astray. They are still saved, but at that moment, they are not abiding in the vine. They are out of the will of God. Some person may say, what about when it says, "and cast them into the fire and they are burned"? That is showing us that they are cast into hell. Well, if we would look at what it says before that, it says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned." So if you note, when it says cast forth as a branch, Jesus is giving us an example of what they did in the past with branches they cut off. Rather than have them pile up and take up room in their land that they could use, they would burn them to get out of the way. The fire is not talking about hell, because if you would note, who gathers them and casts them into the fire? It says men. And men do not cast people into hell. Now, I had the same person say to me, that word men might mean angels. Well, it does not. The Greek word means a human being, not angels. Human beings do not cast people into hell. Once an individual chooses not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they die and stand before the Lord, God is the one who sentences them to hell. It is not that he wants to cast them into hell. It grieves him to cast people into hell. But it is because the individual chose not to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and have eternal life. They chose to pay for their sins themselves in hell and then the lake of fire for all of eternity. God is just being holy and just and must punish them for their choice and because his word said that those who would not receive Christ as Savior would go to hell. If you would, for just a quick proof of that, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we'll be looking at I'll read verse 31 through 46. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee sick? When saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So if you note, who was the one who sent them? Who said, Depart from me? It was the king, who is Jesus, and Jesus is God. So God is the one who sentences people to go to hell, not men. God did everything for everyone in the world to be saved, and he offers it for free. All he requires is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and call upon his name. If you did not do that, then you have chose yourself to go to hell and pay for your own sins. So I believe we have established that it is not talking about hell, but what it is an illustration of what you do with branches that are cut off. He is saying that those Christians which do nothing for me, the Father will cut off from the vine, just like he would cut off those unnecessary branches that are taken from your fruit tree. And also something to add, once you are saved, you are always saved, and you can never lose it. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30 says, Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So if you know what Jesus gave them, he gave them eternal life. And the Greek word for eternal life means forever or everlasting. And they shall never perish, Jesus says. What I found interesting was that the word perish there in the Greek means die. It's not saying that you will never physically die, but once you have, when you have received Christ as your Savior, you will never spiritually die. So verses 2 and 6 are not talking about a lost person or a person losing their salvation. It is talking about a saved person out of the will of God and being punished for it. Now if you go back to verse 2 in John chapter 15, let's read the whole verse now. Jesus says, Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. For those Christians who do not bring forth fruit, who do not live a life that is pleasing to God, The Father takes it away. And the branches that bring forth fruit, God the Father purges them so that they will bring forth more fruit. And purges means to prune. And you know what pruning means? To cut off the unnecessary branches of trees that they may bring forth better fruit. So just as we would prune a fruit tree or some tree that would bring forth fruit to make them bring better fruits, so God the Father purges and prunes us so that we may bring forth better fruit in our Christian lives. Verse 3 says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We are made clean through the word of God. It says in Psalms 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And there's a question. But the next part of the verse answers it by saying, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How a Christian is cleansed is by taking heed to the word of God. It is not just by reading the Bible and doing nothing, or hearing the preaching and doing nothing. It is by hearing it and doing it. If you're not doing what the Bible says, or what the preaching says, you are as described in James as being deceived. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So if you only hear the word and not do anything about it, you are deceiving yourself. We need to be doers. And taking heed to God's word is doing what it says. Verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." So Jesus tells us to abide in him, and to have him abide in us. Some may wonder, how do we have Jesus abide in us? Once again, I do not believe it's talking about salvation, because once you are saved, you are immediately indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and it is not something you can put off and on. What I believe it means is, if you would see the first part of verse 7, Jesus says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you." I believe how we have Jesus abiding in us is by having his word memorized in our hearts, because Jesus Christ is the word. If you look, you don't have to look, but it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It also says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So having God's Word memorized in our hearts is having Christ abiding in us. Just like the branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself unless it is a part of the vine, so we in our Christian lives cannot bring forth fruit unless we abide in Jesus. And how we abide in Jesus, how we abide or dwell in Christ is by doing what his word says, by obeying it, by memorizing it, by studying it, by applying it to our lives. Verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Once again, Jesus states that he is the vine, and that we who are saved are the branches, and no lost person can be a branch in the vine. And the Christian that abides in him, that is memorizing and studying his word and applying it, and who also has his word, God's word memorized in our hearts, that Christian will bring forth much fruit. You cannot be abiding in Christ and having Christ abide in you and not bring forth any fruit. It is impossible. If you are abiding in Christ and having Christ abiding in you, you shall bring forth much fruit, because without Christ, you can do nothing. Verse 6, Jesus says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So the Christian that does not abide in Jesus shall be cast as a branch, and because they are no longer getting what they need to survive in their Christian life, they will spiritually wither and therefore become unusable for the work of God. The person did not lose their salvation. They are now just rendered unusable for the work of God. Those Christians are the ones who are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, which says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So they are still saved, but they are just building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, wood, hay, and stubble. And when they stand before the Lord and their works are revealed by fire, it shall be burned. But if you remember the last part of the verse, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So in other words, they literally just made it into heaven. They have no rewards to show forth, but they have just made it into heaven. If you would look at verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So if we abide in Jesus, and his words abide in us, if we have his word memorized, then we are told that we will get our prayers answered, as long as we do not ask amiss or something against his will. We still have to follow the guidelines of prayer. So having God's word memorized in our hearts helps us get answered prayer, because we can claim the great and precious promises that we know of. And also, having God's word memorized in our hearts keeps us from sinning. Psalms 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It is only by the word of God that we can keep ourselves from sinning. How else would we know if something is wrong or how to defeat the temptation if we do not have God's word in our hearts? Verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." So verse 8 tells us how we can glorify the Father. We glorify him by bringing forth much fruit. If you think about it, we can glorify the Lord, the King of Kings, the God of heaven, the Creator, by bringing forth much fruit. We can bring glory to his name. And if we bring forth much fruit, then we will be his disciples. A disciple is talking about a follower, one who follows both the teacher and the teaching. So if we are following the Bible, if we are doing what his word says, we are following Christ and his teaching. Those Christians who are bringing forth much fruit are the Christians who are following what Christ says. Verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So just as the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus also loves us, and we are told to continue in his love. How do we continue in Christ's love? As you all know, the beginning of verse 10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." It is by keeping Jesus' commandments that we shall abide or continue in his love. It says in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So that is how we can know if we love God or not, whether we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. We at times may make them grievous, but that would be on our part. God's word, God's commandments are not grievous. That is how we can know if we love God, whether we keep his commandments or not. Just as Jesus keeps his Father's commandments and abides in his love. Now, Jesus will always love us, just like a parent will always love their children. But if their child disobeys and does not listen to what you said, you still love them, but at that moment, they are not abiding or continuing in your love. And that is how it is with Christ. Verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So these things which we have just looked at, Jesus told to us that his joy might remain in us, and that his joy and that our joy might be full. God wants us to have a joyful life. He wants his joy to be in us. So if you are not abiding in the vine, then realize what you are missing out on the blessings, and on the joy, and on the love. And also know that not abiding in the vine is sin. It is sin not to abide in the vine. Therefore, see your sin and repent, and ask the Lord for forgiveness, and start abiding in the vine. It says in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confess means to speak or say the same thing. And what that means is that when we sin against God, we must go to him and tell him what we have just done. Yes, he knows what we had done. He knows what we just did. But just like a parent, when they have told their child not to do something and the child disobeys and you know it, you ask your child, "What have you done?" You want to hear it from the child. So the Father wants to hear from us what we have done. He wants us to admit that what we have done was wrong, because it says if we confess our sins. So we must acknowledge that what we have done was wrong and ask him for forgiveness. And he, being faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us abide in the vine and bring forth much fruit. Let us glorify God in our lives. Do not be the withered Christian. Be the fruitful one. Let us close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your message of abiding in the vine. We pray that we'd each and every one of us take heed to your word, and that we would every day seek to abide in the vine, to dwell in you, to memorize and study your word, and that we may bring forth much fruit and glorify the Father. We thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us to serve in this church. We pray that you would bless this church and everyone in it. And we thank you and ask for safety for everyone traveling home. In Jesus' name, amen.